Magic Drive Time, presented by International Diamond Center, Orlando's direct diamond importer and the exclusive jeweler of the Orlando Magic, hits the road now.
Broadcasting live inside the Orlando Magic Studios, here's your host, Aaron Berlin.
I will tell you what, you go down to South Florida and you walk out with a big-time W, and more impressively, after the intermission, you come out and you rock them 30-12. That's what I like to see. If you're an Orlando Magic fan, I think you liked it last night, too. We'll talk about it here coming up on Magic Drive Time. Presented by International Diamond Center, Magic win last night, so you win, too. Get 50% off your Papa John's order today by entering the promo code MAGICWIN. So how do you go to the basketball game tonight? Well, on your way, you're going to stop and get your Papa John's pizza. Then you don't got to pay the delivery fee. And then you're going to take it down. You're going to eat the pizza as you walk into the arena. Hey, I'm just an idea guy. I just have these things that come to me, and that's what we're going to do. So here's what we have for you on the docket of today's show. Sean Devaney will join me in a matter of moments. In the second segment, Ryan Viner, he is the Executive Director of Coaching for Literacy, will join us to talk about what Jonathan Isaac is doing at the basketball game tonight. And if you want to support a good cause, if you want to know how good of an individual Jonathan Isaac will do, you're going to want to stick around for that. But just a reminder, Magic fans, we do have a new podcast. It is the Orlando Magic Pod Squad, and it drops every Tuesday with your man and the hosts of this show, Dante Marcatelli, George Galante, David Steele, and Jeff Turner. They talk about all things Magic. They give you a behind-the-scenes look of what is going on with the club, as well as things that are coming forward. New episode will drop next week, so be on the lookout for that. We're welcoming in Sean Devaney of the Sporting News. And first off, Sean, thank you for taking the time. I know it's a busy day for you. I know it's always a busy day for all of us when we cover the NBA, but thank you for taking the time out of your day to join us.
Well, thanks for having me, Aaron. And I apologize in advance. I've got a bit of a cold. I think most people do at this time of year, but happy to be on with you.
Well, I will tell you what, I got over a cold last week, and so I know everything that you're going through, and I hope you get well soon, my friend.
Thank you.
Okay, but let's talk about, you know, the crazy thing about this Orlando Magic team is I go through this every year. I cover the team on a day-to-day basis working for the organization, and, you know, so many times I feel like I've gotten my hopes up on that something is sustainable, and every time I have been let down. However, I have not felt this way since 2016 when Scott Skiles was at the helm for his 1 year. But today, when I look at them in the win-loss column, they are an even 500. It's the sixth time they've been at 500, but they are 12-12. They lead the Southeast Division, and I'm just wondering, is this ever going to turn, or is this real to you?
You know, it very well could turn. You know, I think that the road trip that they just are coming off of here, you have to be encouraged about that, because to come out of that with 3-3 and missing Aaron Gordon for a game or a game and a half, you know, that's not a bad result for them at all. That's got to be pretty encouraging, especially when you look at the stretch of games they've got coming up. So, you know, you really, there's cause to be encouraged. But like you said, you know, we have seen this before. You know, they had the fast start. I think they were 8-4 last year. And you mentioned the Scott Skiles year where, you know, it was about midseason before they really started to backslide quite a bit. So, you know, you do want to temper your enthusiasm a bit. But I think what you have to be really encouraged about with this group is you can see the direction. And I think for Magic fans, that has to have been the frustrating thing about the last 5-6 years is it seemed like the direction would change, you know, with the day of the week. This time that they really do have a sense of what kind of team they want to be and where this group is headed and the kind of players they're going to want to bring in going forward. So, you know, I think that you can at least see some hope that there is a direction here in Orlando.
Right now, talking with Sean Devaney of the Sporting News, and I will tell you what, Sean, perhaps that's the most intriguing thing that I've heard, and it's music to my ears, you know. For the last few years, this team said that they wanted to be a defensive-minded basketball team, that was where they were going to butter their bread, and it just never came to fruition. I look at them today, they're 6 in opponents' points per game, and there's a certain sense of intensity and tenacity, and I have to credit Steve Clifford with that. Is that perhaps the biggest identity that they've made this year?
Yeah, and that's definitely Clifford's calling card. That's why they brought him in. He might not be the long-term coach if you're talking 5-6 years from now when maybe they're ready to really be a contender. But he's a team that's going to he's a coach who's going to get the team to play top quality defense and to really mind their principles and to be consistent. And I think you see that in a game like the Miami game, for instance, where they didn't play particularly well, certainly not on the offensive end, but you could still win a game like that if you play the kind of defense that they played. So, that's a real difference for them. That's been Steve Clifford's reputation. It's what they want to do going forward. If you look at Jeff Weltman and John Hammond, their history, they like sort of long-armed defensive guys who can really muck up the lane and get into passing lanes and create a lot of different problems for you. That's what they've done in the draft, and that's what they're going to continue to do. So, I think that's what the direction of this team is, and offensively they'll sort of figure that out as they go. Obviously, they need a point guard going forward. That's going to be a real key for them, but I think right now the emphasis is just on getting the defense right.
I was going to say, the roster construction is one thing, and this front office is going to have to deal with a lot of decisions sooner rather than later. Not just, I'm talking offseason, but more deadline with some of the expiring contracts they have. But before we get to that, one of the guys you touched on, Aaron Gordon, missed a game and a half on that road trip. They really missed him in kind of the fourth quarter against Kevin Durant and Golden State. They really missed him in Portland with just the way that he can switch and that he can guard. What kind of development have you seen from Aaron Gordon on a national scale? Because, some of the things that we see here with Aaron on a day-to-day basis is we know how good of a defender he can be. It's just finding his spots within the offense. And what are some of the growth points that you've seen from him?
Yeah, I mean, I think that he's a much better passer. I think he's gotten to be a much better passer during his time in the NBA. I think that's something that he's wanted to do. He's a reluctant number one option. I don't think that's a comfortable role for him. I think ultimately, he'd rather be the number two scorer and be a guy who can rebound, who can start the break, finish the break, who can do a number of different things and not have to be a guy who scores 25 points a game. I don't think that's a real comfortable role for him. As we saw last year, he can do that, but I think he's much more comfortable playing the kind of game that he's been playing lately, where he can score when called upon, when the team really needs him. But he's probably more comfortable in the 16 to 18 point range rather than in the 24 point range. So I think that's something that's become pretty clear about him. He's a much better 3-point shooter. We'll see if that holds up. That was something that fell apart on him over the course of last year. We'll see if he can be consistent with that 3-point shot, if that's a corner he has turned. To me, that's going to be the real test of him and his team is consistency and kind of carrying through the start that they've had. You mentioned that they didn't do it last year. He didn't really do it last year. So we'll see if that changes this year.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it for this team to reach its ceiling. And I think that their ceiling is probably maybe a 7 or an 8 seed in the Eastern Conference if everything were to break right. But as far as Aaron Gordon is concerned, how much of what you said, his maturation as a basketball player is attributed to that there's not the frustration anymore of will he play the 3, will he play the 4, that he kind of has a defined role with this team?
Yeah, I think that's been important for him. No question. He's always and you've talked to Aaron, so you know that he's kind of a laid back guy. He keeps his cards close to his chest, and you're not going to get a lot of complaining or things like that from him. But I can tell you that bothered him. That it was something that he struggled with, and to know day in and day out what's going to be expected of him. I think that's made a big difference in terms of how he approaches his game and how he approaches the offseason. What he needs to work on and what he needs to improve, and I think you've seen a lot of that pay off. He works out in Santa Barbara with the P3 folks who have great reputation, and I think you see that paying off the last couple of years.
Yeah, it'll be fun for him just to have a coach year over year that'll be the same instead of kind of going through this carousel of coaches that we've had here in Orlando over the last couple of years. You mentioned the offseason, the Magic elected to re-sign him to that four-year deal. They're going to have decisions to make before this offseason, most notably a trade deadline that's coming very rapidly in February, and they have two guys that I think are going to make that decision incredibly difficult. One of them is Nick Vucevic, who as of today, I don't want to get ahead of myself, but at 20 points per game, 11 rebounds per game, 3.5 assists, is it too early to start kind of pounding that Nick Vucevic drum that maybe he might be in line for his first All-Star bid?
I don't think it's too early. I think the way he's played, he certainly deserves that consideration, especially if they're still a 500 team in a month and a half. Then yeah, he will absolutely deserve consideration. If not, absolutely deserve a spot. He's been terrific. He's done everything they've asked of him. We all know what his weaknesses are, but he's been very good rebounding the ball, and I think defensively he's done more this year than he has in the past. So I don't think it's too early to start saying that this guy deserves an All-Star spot, especially in an Eastern Conference where a lot of those spots are going to be up for grabs. You know, you look around and it's hard to see somebody you put enough guys to put ahead of him that would bump him off that roster.
Yeah, I certainly think Joel Embiid is one, maybe Al Horford too, but it's like what you said, it's all dependent on if this team can continue to win basketball games, and a guy that has helped them win basketball games so far is Terrence Ross. Look, the knock on Ross has always been whether or not he can sustain his ability over 5, 10, 15 games, right? Like, that has always been the issue with Terrence Ross. As I look at it today, this is a candidate for a potential sixth man of the year, and this is a guy that has an expiring contract. What are your thoughts on Terrence Ross? What are your thoughts on what the offseason holds for him? And kind of, have you heard about interest around the league of what could make of Terrence Ross?
Yeah, he would probably be sort of a third tier guy in terms of what you would wind up paying him and how hotly he would be pursued. I don't think there's a lot of teams that have him at the top of their list, but he's. You mentioned the consistency thing that's been the issue. I think it's a little bit of a red flag if in a contract year a guy suddenly finds consistency. You definitely raise a red flag there. But he's been good, and he's the kind of player that with the athleticism, with the ability to be a decent defender. That's the kind of player that the Magic want. So if the number is right, then I would imagine that they'd look to keep him. On a short term deal. He's making, I think, $10 million this year. Certainly you wouldn't pay him more than that. If somebody else would, then fine, you let him go. But if you can get him around that number, maybe a little less, then I think that's a guy you'd bring back.
I was going to say, Sean, and how, if you are an NBA front office, do you gauge that kind of contract year? That's always the interesting thing, right? When someone's an expiring and they're playing for a 4 or 5 year deal, then it's hard to gauge that initial year. But this summer is an interesting one because so many guys last summer signed on one-year deals. Is there really that much money that could potentially go around for a guy like Terrence Ross?
Yeah, there is. But at the same time, Aaron, you've seen a lot of teams, especially after that summer of 2016 and some of the contracts that, I don't need to tell folks in Orlando about that, but some of the contracts that were given out.
Thank you for the reminder of that, by the way.
Sorry about that. But some of the contracts that were given out were so ridiculous. And I think teams, have been much more prudent since then. There's a sense that there's all this money out there, but I don't think teams are going to be stupid about it. I think you're going to see teams reluctant to go beyond 3 years with a lot of these contracts and are going to be tight with the money because I don't think that you want to see a lot of repeat of the mistakes that were made in 2016. So maybe I'm too much of an optimist on that. Maybe once the gates open on July 1st, all that changes. But right now, I would say that there isn't going to be the big flood of huge money that we saw in 2016. You definitely have a top tier of guys, but beyond that, I think these guys are going to have to accept probably a little less than what they might expect.
Special thanks to Sean Devaney. You can catch this full interview on the Producers Cut by going to iTunes and searching the Producers Cut as well. But when we return here on Magic Drive Time, presented by International Diamond Center, we'll take a look at what's coming up for this Magic team tonight as they host the Denver Nuggets, what is ahead, and also what Jonathan Isaac is doing to not only make a big, big difference on the basketball floor, but in your community as well. All that and more coming up here on Magic Drive Time, presented by International Diamond Center.
When it comes to the best diamonds at the best prices in Florida, Magic fans choose International Diamond Center. It's why IDC has earned the title Exclusive Jeweler of the Orlando Magic year after year. IDC dominates the competition every day with a massive inventory of hand-selected diamonds, literally thousands of designer rings, an unparalleled selection of fashion jewelry, the guaranteed best values in America, and the strongest warranties in the jewelry industry. Learn more at shopidc.com/gomagic, where Magic fans shop for jewelry.
The holiday season is here, and so is the chance to be part of our Orlando Magic Youth Holiday Camps, presented by United Healthcare. Children ages 6 to 17 will receive expert instruction, participate in unique drills, and compete in live games. As a bonus, every camper also receives a basketball, t-shirt, and ticket to a Magic home game. Register your child now at orlandomagic.com/youth and experience the fun and excitement of the NBA.
You're listening to Magic Drive Time.
Hey, welcome back. Magic Drive Time, presented by International Diamond Center, rolls along. Special thanks to Sean Devaney, who joined us in the first segment. Had some interesting takes on not only Aaron Gordon, Nick Vucevic, Terrence Ross, but as well as where this Magic team can go from here. So it should be a fun one. Magic begin what will be a short two-game homestand tonight on the back end of a back-to-back as they welcome in the Denver Nuggets, but then also the Indiana Pacers on Friday. So a good opportunity for a team that has an even ledger at 12-12 to maybe make some noise in the Eastern Conference as well as their division. Well, it is my pleasure to welcome in not only a guy who is doing a great, great cause here in Central Florida, but around the country as well. His name is Ryan Viner. He is the Executive Director of Coaching for Literacy. First off, Ryan, thank you so much for taking the time and joining us today, and thank you for coming on.
Aaron, glad to be here. Appreciate you having me on and looking forward to telling Orlando Magic fans what Jonathan Isaac is doing in the fight for literacy and how they can get involved in the effort to help kids in Orlando become more successful in life.
Well, I will tell you what, I was very excited when I got this interview opportunity and when I read exactly how Jonathan Isaac got hooked up with you. Can you kind of tell that story, one, about why this is so important for Jonathan Isaac, and two, how he got involved with you guys?
Yeah, and I'll start. If it's okay, I'll reverse order for you there.
Oh, absolutely.
Start with two and then go to one. In terms of Jonathan's involvement with Coaching for Literacy, we conduct Fight for Literacy games across the country with NCAA basketball teams. This year, we'll have around 60 to 70 NCAA basketball teams host Fight for Literacy games. And it's important for folks to know that the mission of the Fight for Literacy games is to connect every American to the issue of illiteracy in their own community. So Jonathan became involved in the Fight for Literacy because the Florida State coaching staff has been a long supporter of our initiative. And the assistant coach there, associate head coach Stan Jones, and Jonathan are good friends. And slowly but surely, as Jonathan got involved in the program and started reading with kids, you could tell that his heart was really taken to helping young children have an opportunity to be more successful in life. And we believe literacy is one of the primary ways in which a child can have a better future. And that's how Jonathan got on board and also why this is so important to him.
Absolutely. And I will tell you what, an everyday task like reading or filling out a job application or simply reading an article is something that a lot of people take for granted. And it's something that you can't fully understand what someone else is going through if you don't deal with those same kind of struggles. So exactly what made you get involved and how have you guys been helping?
You're correct. There are a lot of things on a day-to-day basis that we do take for granted, those of us who can read. And Aaron, it'll surprise you to know that there are 32 million adults in our country that are functionally illiterate. That means they couldn't fill out a job application. So there's a lot of folks that actually don't have the ability to read, and it hinders them from having a successful and dignified life. And in terms of my involvement, I was actually interviewed 5 years ago to become the executive director. And the board chairman challenged me to go home and search illiteracy in Google and spend 30 minutes reading about it and then let him know if I'd like to come and get involved in the fight for literacy to hopefully change some of the statistics that I read on Google that night. And one that's really interesting and very important for your listeners in Florida to know is that according to the National Assessment of Educational Progress, 59% of fourth graders in your state in Florida are not reading at the proficient level, and that is in fourth grade. So that's almost 6 out of every 10 kids, and that's not just a number. Those are actual real kids. So if you're a listener, think about your child or your niece or your nephew. 6 out of 10 in the state of Florida are not reading at the proficient level according to the National Assessment of Educational Progress. And the reason that's important is we know that if a child's not reading at grade level at this juncture in fourth grade, then they're going to have a much better chance, unfortunately, of being in prison or on welfare at some point in their life. So we believe that literacy is the social issue of our time that nobody's talking about. And if it's something that we began to fix, then we would heal a lot of other social ills in our country.
Right now, talking with Ryan Viner, the Executive Director of Coaching for Literacy. The Magic will kickstart their Fight for Literacy Games. That'll take place December 5th through the 13th. Jonathan Isaac is their representative. Now, what are some things that Jonathan will do on the court tonight? I know he's wearing green, but how else is he impacted?
So, two things. Jonathan is, first and foremost, wearing green to raise literacy awareness. And then secondly, over the next 4 games, Jonathan is matching every donation that Orlando Magic fans make up to $5,000. And 100% of all the funds we raise are going to stay here locally per our 100% impact promise and go to kids in the Orange County Public School District, specifically the Read to Succeed program. So he will be wearing green for literacy, and then he'll be scoring points for literacy tonight and over the next 3 games. So fans can get involved specifically in 2 ways. You can either, one, make a donation, either a flat donation or donate per point that Jonathan scores over the next 4 games, or you can sign up to volunteer locally. And you can do both those things, either one, make a donation, or two, sign up to volunteer at www.fightforliteracygames.org.
That is incredible. Up to $5,000 for each donation. That is magnificent what Jonathan is doing. I think it's wonderful what you guys are doing. How many NBA teams across the league are in this fight with you guys?
This is our first one, Aaron, so it'll always be special. That's the reason that I'm in Orlando today, is because it's a big moment for the organization. And we honestly couldn't pick a better player to start this with than Jonathan. We respect him and think so much of him and are really happy to kickstart our work in the NBA with Jonathan tonight.
Absolutely. We're excited for it too. Magic and Denver getting started tonight. It runs for 4 games from the 5th through the 13th. Hey, Ryan, thank you so much for taking the time and joining us today. And I hope and I pray that this is a wonderful event for you guys and everyone here, not only in Central Florida, but in the state of Florida, takes notice in this as well.
All right. Thank you so much, Aaron. Really appreciate it.
Anytime. That was Ryan Viner, the Executive Director of Coaching for Literacy. Does a great job doing some wonderful things with Jonathan Isaac. He mentioned it. You can go to the fightforliteracygames.com. 100% of those funds will remain here in Central Florida. It doesn't get better than that. Go to the game tonight. Donate. Jonathan Isaac, great person. He's going to wear green tonight. That includes his socks, laces, tights, and wristbands. And I'll do it for the next 4 games. Well, that'll do it for us here on Magic Drive Time, presented by International Diamond Center. We are back tomorrow. Dante is back in his seat where he belongs. Thank you so much for listening. We had a jam-packed show for you today, but we had some important things that we wanted to get in. We are here to educate as well as entertain, and we think we did just that. All right, we are back tomorrow. Thanks for tuning in.
Our Magic never compromise on the court. And Magic fans don't have to compromise when it comes to diamonds, engagement rings, and fine jewelry. You always get more at International Diamond Center. IDC is Florida's leading jeweler, recognized statewide for excellence in every category, selection, value, and trust. And that's why we've been named Exclusive Jeweler of the Orlando Magic again this year. So come visit one of our 8 showrooms across the state or 24/7 at shopidc.com/gomagic. International Diamond Center, where Magic fans shop for jewelry.
Chick-fil-A has teamed up with the Magic to reward fans with free original chicken sandwiches. If the Magic hit 5 or more three-pointers in a home game, everyone in attendance of that game will win a free original chicken sandwich from Chick-fil-A.
Left corner, that's Fournier for three. Got it to go.
People up front.
All you have to do is take your ticket stub or your redemption offer in the Magic app at any participating Central Florida location for a free original chicken sandwich. For official rules, visit OrlandoMagic.com/Chick-fil-A.
You're listening to Magic Drive Time.